Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, we have a great guest for you today. Patrick Wolford is the author of 48 books, which have been published in 30 languages. Can you imagine? He is the founder of the Institute for Optimum Nutrition in the UK, and also chief executive officer and chair to the scientific advisory board of foodforthebrain.org. You can find out more about Patrick Wolford and his wonderful work at the website foodforthebrain.org. Welcome, Patrick Wolford.
Thank you very much, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Now, Patrick Wolford, you are the chief executive officer and chair to the scientific advisory board of foodforthebrain.org. What exactly is the charitable organization Food for the Brain?
Well, we are really focused on the incredibly strong link between nutrition and the mind, between mental health and nutrition. And people don't often think far enough back. And what I'm talking about here is, how on earth did we become Homo sapiens? The other apes, chimpanzees, have got a 350cc brain. And over 6.5 million years, we evolved to Homo sapiens with a 1,700cc brain. And our USP is not strength. It's not speed, but it's the brain. And of course, conditions must have existed that allowed us to develop in that way. So what we have right now, which most people are not aware of because we look too short term, is we've actually got a brain health emergency going on. IQ is falling about 7% a generation. And what this means, and don't take this word the wrong way, mental retardation is defined as an IQ 75% below normal. And we are expecting 30 to 50% of children to be at that level by 2080 on the current trend. We've seen rates of autism escalate. Currently, both in the US and the UK, 1 in 6 children are classified as in need of special education, also neurodivergent. We have in the UK, and I'm sure it's the same in the US, up to 50% of women in poor areas are being prescribed antidepressants, or on antidepressants that they can't get off. And then at the other end of the scale, we're watching our relatives and parents drift into dementia, which of course is a terrible indictment of the state of our species, that we should have to lose our mind and our memory before we die. It's not necessary. It is absolutely not a function of age. You do not need to lose your mind as a function of age.
Great information. And I have to share for our audience, I'm 64 and Patrick Wolford is 66, and we're still alive and well and contributing. And you can contribute and have a wonderful brain health throughout your lifetime. Now,
and also, yeah, I mean, just to sort of contextualize the charity foodforthebrain.org, I had a bit of a breakthrough back when I was 19, realizing that perhaps suboptimum nutrition was driving cancer and heart disease and diabetes and so on. And I started an Institute for Optimum Nutrition, which was a charity in the UK in 1984 with Dr. Linus Pauling. He had 2 Nobel Prizes, 48 PhDs. He was the patron of the Institute, and we started a new profession called nutritional therapy, which is now a degree accredited profession, and we have about 10,000 of them. But my background always was psychology. So then in 2006, I really wanted to focus on that and started the charity foodforthebrain.org. If I sound a little croaky, I think I just had 2 days of COVID, but I whacked in the vitamin C and I'm feeling good, but a little croaky. So foodforthebrain.org is really focused on how to keep that attention on nutrition and mental health. And I actually just finished interviewing a lovely man, age 93, Professor Michael Crawford. He was the man who discovered that all brains of all animals are made primarily of omega-3 DHA, talking about fish. And no one has ever known or been able to accurately describe how the photons hit our eye turn into the precise image that you or I see in color, speed, accuracy, color. He just worked that out with quantum physics, published a paper at the age of 93. I interviewed Linus Pauling just before he died. He was working on a theory of something called lipoprotein A for heart disease, which is now well understood to be of critical importance. He was 93. My other great teacher was the head of scientific research and psychiatry in Canada, Dr. Abram Hoffer, who successfully treated 6,000 people with schizophrenia. And 2 weeks before his death at 93, he stopped seeing his patients. And 4 days before his death, he said, "I'm not feeling very well." And all of these people were on my scientific boards, super smart, right up to the end. So something's going to wear out in the end, whether it's your heart, your legs might not work so well, etc. But it doesn't need to be your mind. Alzheimer's, which is 2/3 of dementia, is an actual disease, like diabetes is a disease. There's about 1% or less than 1 in 100 people who get it inherit genes that cause it. So less than 1% is caused by genes. So in reality, possibly 99% of people can avoid this. And that's one of our focuses on at foodforthebrain.org, how to prevent Alzheimer's for individuals.
I just really appreciate the work that you're doing, Patrick Holford. And for our audience, 2 of my 10 books are about how to heal depression naturally without drugs. And I go extensively into nutrition. And Dr. Abram Hoffer wrote an endorsement of the first one. So he is very much one of my mentors as well. So he created a field called orthomolecular psychiatry, right? Mm-hmm. So many people don't understand how your brain is entirely dependent on circulating blood sugar, and your muscles store energy, your brain does not. So Patrick Holford, author of 48 books, chief executive officer of foodforthebrain.org, what made you decide to focus on dementia and Alzheimer's?
Well, it's kind of, in a way, a perfect disease to focus on for prevention. And the reason is, you know, you can reverse type 2 diabetes. I went public with that in the 90s, got my head cut off, but now we accept you can reverse it. You can reverse cancer as well. You can reverse heart disease. But once you've got holes in your brain, and that's what Alzheimer's is, that's how we actually, just to be clear, when you start to lose your memory and you have a proper validated cognitive function test, if you're, you know, off target considerably, it's called mild cognitive impairment, or MCI, sometimes pre-dementia. And if it's worse, it's called dementia. But you can only be diagnosed with Alzheimer's if you scan the medial central area of the brain and you see shrinkage, holes, and they don't come back. I'd love to say take this vitamin or that, but it doesn't. You know, when you got holes in your brain, you got holes in your brain. You may be able to wire it a bit better, but you've got holes. So you can't prevent it. It is the single biggest healthcare cost by a long way. It's become a bigger fear than gaining weight. You know? So weight gain, cancer, Alzheimer's are our biggest fears. And in many countries, it's become the single biggest killer. And one of my sort of main projects this year, working with a lot of the top guys in America, Dr. Dale Bredesen, David Perlmutter, Professor Robert Lustig, all sorts of genius guys who are also in my science group, is really to make it very clear to everyone that this is a preventable disease. You don't need to get it. And it's not just about nutrition, but that's terribly important. Keeping your mind active is important. Being physically active is important. Not being stressed out all the time is important. Sleep is important. But it's a perfect disease in my context, because there are certain things that happen as people get older. And one of them is they often start to malabsorb vitamin B12. And B12, by the way, is only in animal food. So if you're vegan, you have to supplement it. But 2 in 5, maybe more, people over 60, if actually tested, are deficient in B12. And that drives up something that you can measure, which should be measured in everyone over 50 for sure, called homocysteine, which means you're not doing methylation. If you're not doing methylation, your brain starts to shrink because you can't build neuronal membranes without methylation, which is B vitamins. And that's actually where Dr. Abraham Hoffer first started, because what happened was he noticed that schizophrenics have disperceptions. They hear things, they see things, they're disperceiving. And he ran the very first ever double-blind control trial in the history of psychiatry in the 1950s, giving high-dose B vitamins, and a lot of the schizophrenics stopped hallucinating. And what he didn't realize at the time was that most of what he was doing was affecting this process called methylation, which we now know is very dependent on vitamin B6, B12, and folate, foliage, greens. And so there's a lot of people who are going to drift into dementia or Alzheimer's for a very simple reason. Their diet may be good, but they just do not absorb B12. And you mentioned orthomolecular psychiatry. It means the right molecules. And where these geniuses like Linus Pauling with his 48 PhDs and 2 Nobel Prizes got to was, in the future, medicine will be about finding out what's that chemical imbalance that is occurring, and then correcting it with the natural nutrients that are part of our evolution. But you often need a much higher dose. And just to finish this off, the RDA, which I call the ridiculous dietary arbitrary, for vitamin B12 is 2 microgram. But if I have somebody with a raised homocysteine, if it's above 10, your brain is shrinking, I'm going to give them 500 microgram. It's completely safe. It's dirt cheap. And they don't need it. But because they're not absorbing very well, you have to give that much to absorb a little more to bring the homocysteine down. And that alone is almost 1/4 of the risk for Alzheimer's. So NIH researchers, National Institute of Health, they attributed 22% of the risk for Alzheimer's to raised homocysteine, lack of B vitamins.
Amazing. Now, I have 2 follow-up questions, Patrick Holford. You mentioned that by the time someone has Alzheimer's, there are actually holes in their brain. What causes it? And then I have a follow-up question. But what causes the holes in the brain in someone with Alzheimer's?
Well, it's really dead brain cells. And to answer that in a more accurate way, we've got about 30 risk factors for Alzheimer's now, from hearing loss to lack of exercise to being lonely to depression to B vitamins, omega-3, sugar, and so on. And really, no one has fully comprehended why there are these 30 factors. But if you understand that your brain cells have to have the right structure, number one, the right function, number two, which is fuel. So we need to talk about sugar and ketones and all that sort of thing. And then you need utilization. So the reason why you get holes in the brain is because neurons, brain cells, are dying. And there's, in effect, 2 things that can help make them die. One is the membrane, if you like, the skin. And this, by the way, is a major scientific breakthrough that's occurred in the last 3 years. That membrane is made of omega-3 DHA. It's what you find in oily fish, which has to bind to something called a phospholipid, which is rich in eggs. The binding is done by methylation. And what we didn't realize, some studies have been effective with B vitamins, some studies have been effective with omega-3, but not all. And what we've learned in the last 3 years is the B vitamins don't work without omega-3, and the omega-3 doesn't work without the B vitamins. And when someone has sufficient omega-3 and they're given, for example, B12 to lower the homocysteine, it always works. So if the membrane breaks down, the cell's going to die. If the cell has, and here's the irony, if you've been eating a lot of sugar, a lot of carbohydrates, and you end up with what's called insulin resistance. Insulin is what drives glucose into the brain. As you said, brain cells don't store the glucose. They're dependent on this delivery system. And if the delivery system is broken down as a consequence of eating too much sugar, the neuron, the brain cell, is starved of fuel. And that's going to make it die as well. So we're looking at a structure problem, looking at a function problem. And also part of function is that whenever you burn fuel for energy, you get oxidants, you get exhaust fumes. So, you know, why is smoking a risk factor? Why is pollution a risk factor? Why is fruit and veg a reduction in risk? And the answer is all those antioxidants you get in herbs and spices and fruits and veg and so on are cleaning up the exhaust fume of oxidation in the brain. So if you have a lot of oxidation, the brain dies. The brain cells die, you then see inflammation. And the big, well, the big myth here is that you start to get these deposits of amyloid plaque. But they're the consequence of all of this process. They're not the cause. So at the moment, the best story, really, that the pharma industry have is if we can develop drugs that break down these amyloid deposits, you know, we can make a few bucks. And so far, there have been quite a few anti-amyloid injection drugs that have worked in the sense that they do reduce amyloid in the brain, but they don't have any significant clinical effect. It's a bit like, you know, if you've got arthritis, you get nodules in your knee. Is it the nodule's fault, you know? Maybe a surgical operation might give you a bit, you know, you've got to go back to the cause. That's the point. And we're now starting to really understand the cause of Alzheimer's, which, by the way, are the same causes of everything else. So I want to tell you how we're doing this in a real sense, because we've now tested over 400,000 people for free on our website, which could give you the clue as to how to get none of these diseases.
Okay, and with that, let's take a break and listen to one of our commercial sponsors at UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. We are listening to Patrick Holford, the Chief Executive Officer of Food for the Brain, and we're talking about food to prevent dementia and Alzheimer's. We'll be right back.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Patrick Holford, Chief Executive Officer of foodforthebrain.org, you mentioned, and I had not heard this before, this is really actually pretty exciting information, that if a person does a lab test and their homocysteine level is above 10, that is a sign that their brain is shrinking, correct?
Yes. You above, I mean, technically above 11 micromole per liter, you have brain shrinkage. And we use, you know, diagnostically, we say anyone above 10 should be, therefore, supplementing high-dose B12, 500 microgram, B6, 20 milligram, and folate, maybe 400 microgram. And by the way, I want to tell you something that I'm very excited about. Ridiculously, this test, homocysteine, is actually a biomarker for over 100 diseases. I mean, there's nothing as important as that. And it's been incredibly difficult to get it measured anywhere, you know, through your doctor in America and so on. And we have finally cracked the technology and launched the test both in the US in North America and in Europe and in the UK, under $50, or I'm not quite sure what the conversion is, but under £50. And it's highly accurate. You buy a kit, you prick your finger, you follow the instructions, and you find out.
So what exactly is homocysteine? Will you explain that for our audience? And where can people get their homocysteine level tested? What's the website?
Yeah, at foodforthebrain.org. I think one of the ways to explain this, and I've just been writing an article called The Four Horsemen of the Mental Health Apocalypse, is if you lack those omega-3s that literally build the brain. And what I mean by this is Loma Linda University recently did a study a couple of months ago, and they found that the omega-3 level in the blood, called the omega-3 index, a very good test, actually predicts both your brain size and your cognitive function. So it's a direct correlation. So you need the omega-3s to bind into making this membrane, which requires the B vitamins. The process is called methylation. Now, basically, I mean, one of the wonderful ironies is I've just taken a gram of vitamin C every hour for the last while to just knock this little infection on the head. And people say, you're just making expensive urine, you know? And of course, if I was to drink a glass of water and drink it, I would be making watery urine. So obviously the body doesn't store calcium, water, anything else. Otherwise you'd be a giant balloon of vitamin C, whatever. So the point is that we're always taking in nutrients and then transforming them into something that we need. And if the fire alarm went off in 0.2 of a second, you're making adrenaline. How do you do that? If you eat a biscuit, you're making insulin. How do you do that? You've heard that genes can be turned on or off. How is that done? It's all done by the same process, which is called methylation. And there's about 1 billion methylation reactions every 2 seconds. And if you don't do methylation, like schizophrenics will almost always have high homocysteine. People with Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, it's very prevalent in people who are depressed. It's the strongest marker for dementia. So if you're not doing this amazing microsecond adjustment, things go wrong. And what happens is if you're not doing methylation, your homocysteine goes up. It's as simple as that. So it's a functional test. And the other functional test, which I love, which you've probably heard of, is if your doctor diagnoses you with diabetes, they're going to do it on the basis of something called HbA1c, or glycosylated hemoglobin, or sugar-coated red blood cells. Because basically every time your blood sugar goes too high, it starts to sugar damage your red blood cells. So you count up the percentage of red blood cells that are sugar damaged. And those red blood cells, by the way, they last for 3 months. So it's a 3-month record of blood sugar problems. The omega-3 index is also in red blood cells. It's a 3-month record of your omega-3 status. And then of course, vitamin D. So what we're launching in January is a single pinprick blood test that measures HbA1c for your blood sugar, omega-3 for your brain fats, vitamin D, and homocysteine. And they're the four horses of the apocalypse. If you want to get Alzheimer's, don't eat fish, don't supplement omega-3, don't go out in sunlight, don't take vitamin D, eat loads of sugar, eat loads of carbs, and have no B vitamins. Guaranteed, your brain is going to break down.
Now, you mentioned that this homocysteine test can be ordered from Food for the Brain. Can people in all countries order this test?
They can. And I'm going to, my amazing team over here may say, whoa, hold on a minute. Because by the end of January, we expect to have full distribution in the U.S., So it may be just a little while away for some people in some areas, but basically it's a kit. We got to get it to you, and you prick your finger, follow the instructions, and get it back. So at the moment, we're trying to set up distribution centers. But here's what's really important. You can measure in a proper cognitive function test. So if a doctor thinks their patient is starting to develop problems, they send them to a memory clinic. where they do a proper cognitive function test. It takes about 12 minutes. And we are the first organization that got permission to digitize it. And we then ran a proper validation study. It's just the same as what they're doing in the top memory clinics anywhere in the world. And we then invited people to come to our website, foodwiththebrain.org, do the test. And we've had about 410,000 people have done it so far. We'd like to get to 1 million people by, you know, within the next couple of years. Now, what happens is that the cognitive function test can pick up subtle changes 40 years before a diagnosis.
And this is, I believe, a free cognitive function test on the Food for Brain, foodforthebrain.org website.
Yeah. So number one, it's a bit like your blood pressure. Number one, test where you're at. And you can't cheat. You can't do better. And please do it. A lot of people go, I don't want to know because there's nothing you can do, which is completely wrong. There's lots you can do. So find out where you're at. A lot of people are so frightened because their mother or father develop Alzheimer's. They think I've got the genes, so they just, you know, don't want to know. But that's completely the wrong attitude. Do it. Find out where you're at. You'll probably be fine. At the end of the actual test, which is not a questionnaire, you then are invited to fill in a diet and lifestyle questionnaire, and from that we will tell you exactly what is driving your risk, and it's different for everyone. And there are eight domains. We've mentioned the B vitamins. We've mentioned the brain fats. We've mentioned sugar. We've mentioned antioxidants. Healthy gut is another. Active mind, active body, sleep and calm. And it works out where are your weak points. And then what we've been doing over the last 2 years, and I have to tell you, this is citizen science. We are building something here that is funded only by people choosing to donate $50 a year, becoming a citizen scientist, doing the test, obviously, because they want to know and they want to prevent this thing. But also, we invite you back every 6 months. And all that data, if people do a blood test and so on, is going into our amazing database. And that's why I have this incredible team of world-leading scientists from America, from China, from New Zealand, from Europe, from the UK, because they all know the only way to deal with this is to prevent it. And we hope to become the biggest citizen science research project, doing research, finding out what really works. I mean, let me make this real. A man went to his doctor in December, and the doctor diagnosed him with mixed dementia, which means Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. And by the way, vascular dementia is driven by just the same things. And his wife, Dorothy, said, well, what do we do? And they said, nothing. You know, there's nothing that can be done. Join a support. And she went online and she found foodwiththebrain.org, did the test with her husband. Her husband couldn't find the loo in his own house at night. He kept appearing in different rooms. He was a computer programmer. He couldn't turn his computer on or off. He was a gardener. He couldn't conceive of tomorrow. He couldn't both eat and talk. And they did the test, changed everything, supplemented B vitamins with omega-3, cut out the sugar and the carbs, actually went ketogenic 5 days a month, took something called C8 oil, which is really, really good for the brain, went to bed an hour earlier to get more sleep, got more social. He's actually started Morris dancing. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's very much involves coordination and all the rest of it. He's planted his whole spring garden. His cognitive function has actually improved quite considerably. His risk score on our website has reduced. So even when we say this is not reversible, here is a man who's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and with vascular dementia who came back to life by doing everything that would help.
That's what
we're doing this for.
That's an amazing story. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. We're listening to Patrick Holford, the chief executive officer of foodforthebrain.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So Patrick Holford, if I'm ever working with any client with any brain issue, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's obsessive compulsive disorder, or as you mentioned, schizophrenia or dementia, I'm going to put them on an eating plan that I use to regulate their blood sugar. And I have heard of dementia being referred to as stage 4 diabetes. How does sugar contribute to dementia?
I think it's true. I mean, it definitely does. Excuse me, I'm getting a little low on power here. Let me just plug in. There we go. I think there are people who develop dementia who have no blood sugar problem at all. So it's not only a result of that, but we do know, for example, diabetics have a much, much higher risk. And I'm quite glad you answered this, because brain cells are so tightly packed together that they have to get 5-star fuel. And there are only 2 fuels, and one is glucose, which is the breakdown product of sugar, and the other are ketones. Ketones are made in the liver from fat. So if you fast, your body starts making ketones from fat. Brain cells can run on either. They can run on both. They tend to prefer ketones. So what's been discovered recently, and this is why your diet is so important, is that a lot of people, as they age, they start to get a degree of insulin resistance, diabetes, pre-diabetes, and their ability to get glucose into blood cells is highly impaired. So in effect, they've got an energy gap. And that energy gap is experienced as forgetfulness, I can't concentrate, my mind's not quite working, and so on. And Professor Stephen Kunane in Canada, who's one of our scientific advisors, he worked out that there is a very specific kind of fat. It's called C8, or caprylic acid triglyceride. It's about 7% of coconut oil. And some listeners will have heard of medium chain triglycerides. Fats are basically chains of carbons. They can be 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. Olive oil is 14 chains, C14. Goat's cheese is very low, like C4. And coconut oil has this sort of 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 range. But it's actually the C8 specifically that the liver turns into ketones. So what he did is he took older people who were not diabetic but had pre-dementia, and he gave them every day 2 tablespoons of this C8 oil. In other words, it's a subfraction of coconut oil. Tastes lovely. So very neutral, slightly coconutty. And he showed that their brains actually produced 230% more energy from ketones, didn't change the energy produced from glucose. So we can run on 2 fuels like a hybrid car. And as a consequence, their brain came back to life, their cognition improved, and so on. So number one, doing what you're doing, making sure the blood sugar is stable, is what prevents it in the first place. Number two, so I mentioned this this man, Alan, who developed the mixed dementia. He did 2 things. One is every day he had 2 tablespoons of CA oil, which you can buy in the health food store. I use one called Keto Fast in the UK, but in the US it'll be different. And also 5 days a week, he actually cut out all carbs and went ketogenic. So the blood sugar goes down and the blood ketones go up. So it's sort of allowing your neurons to run on ketones. And it became very clear to him that when he did that, his brain came back to life. He was telling me about going to dinner with some friends and he couldn't avoid eating a lot of carbohydrates. And the next day he was really foggy, forgetful, and so on.
So Patrick Holford, how important is it to get enough protein so that the brain can make our neurotransmitters? Because we know that our neurotransmitters are all made from amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein.
Well, you're right. Protein, amino acids, like tryptophan makes, 5-hydroxytryptophan is the most important mood altering chemical in the brain and so on. So you're absolutely right that we make almost all the neurotransmitters from protein. but we don't actually need that much protein. This is one of the really big myths, is that humanity's USP is brain. It's not body. I mean, a rhinoceros builds 1 ton of muscle mass, tiny brain, size of a pea, from eating grass. And grass is 7% protein. So one of the really big myths in nutrition is about needing lots of protein, lots of protein. We need protein, no question at all. And but most of us overeat it. So if you're eating, you know, a serving of meat or fish or a couple of eggs, if you're vegetarian, maybe some tofu, some beans, some lentils, and so on, you should get enough. But what happens sometimes is that due to overstimulation, I mean, the marketeers want to stimulate the release of dopamine, which just makes you feel good. So our use of coffee and alcohol and cigarettes and gaming and gambling and social addiction and so on is all about stimulating dopamine, 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 dopamine. And that depresses serotonin. Serotonin is made from tryptophan. Tryptophan is in various foods. I mean, all protein foods have tryptophan, really. But ironically, and I'll tell you this, an interesting experiment that Professor Wertmann did at MIT. He fed people either a sort of cooked high-protein breakfast like sausage and eggs and bacon, or a carbohydrate breakfast like croissant or something, and then measured the serotonin level in the brain. And it went up more with the croissant.
Right.
And it turned out the reason was to drive that tryptophan into the brain requires insulin. So what we do, and this is so important, in the UK, we estimate now there are 3 million women addicted to antidepressants, in the sense that if they try to come off them, they get these brain flashes, they get terribly anxious, they just have these awful withdrawal effects because long-term use messes up that whole serotonin pathway. So for these women, we've got to give not protein, we've got to give that very specific amino acid, which is tryptophan. And we use a form of it called 5-hydroxytryptophan or 5-HTP, which you can buy in the health food stores. And I mean, a consequence of this, a lot of, you know, party goers learned that when they were using a lot of ecstasy, MDMA, which creates a short-term boost in serotonin, makes you feel very happy, depresses your appetite. That's one of the effects of, you know, sufficient serotonin. They learned that if they supplemented 5-HTP afterwards, they wouldn't get the depression that people get post-MDMA. So, you know, whichever direction you come to it. So if I was coming off an SSRI antidepressant, a serotonin reuptake antidepressant, and I didn't actually take 5-HTP, I'm going to go into a massive serotonin slump, and I may get more depressed than I was, you know, the reason I took it in the first place. I may become suicidal. I may get terribly anxious. I may be unable to sleep. So, yeah, we need protein, no question. But sometimes we need to use that very specific amino acid to get our brain back into balance. I don't take amino acids myself. Because my brain isn't out of balance, but I do eat protein, but I don't eat a lot of protein. I just.
So Patrick Holford, great information. And 2 of my 10 books are about how to heal depression naturally without drugs. Also, I work with a healing center in Costa Rica, and they help people get off every addictive substance, every addictive drug known to man. And the gentleman that I work with, he says he feels that antidepressants are even sometimes harder to get off for people than heroin. So it's very important information. Now, Patrick Holford, what are the most important things to avoid eating to prevent dementia?
Well, all that sugar and junk food is very important. Alcohol is interesting because a small amount seems to reduce risk, particularly red wine, but we're talking 125 mils, so a small glass. Large amount of alcohol is definitely detrimental. Smoking is also definitely detrimental. I think, you know, the top foods, fish is really important. I don't think people really realize that there is no way we could have become Homo sapiens without a very high marine food diet. So I have no doubt that we are basically Homo aquaticus. We are the waterside ape. We are that species of ape that went along the coasts and the estuaries and lived on the rich pickings of oysters and mussels and crabs and small fish and so on. So both a plant-based diet and a marine food diet. I can't see any other way that we could have developed a brain. And the fascinating thing, by the way, is that the brain of every single animal is made of the same stuff. That is omega-3 DHA. There's also an omega-6 fat that's important called arachidonic acid. So you need both. And the size of the brain depends on the supply of the material. So animals that don't have much supply have a very small brain, and those have a lot of supply could get a big brain. And here's something extraordinary. It took us 6.5 million years to go from 350 cc to 1700 cc size brain. This is all done on skull size. And in the last 30,000 years, our brain size has shrunk by 20%. And that's very short in evolutionary history, this shrinkage. And I think it coincides with moving away from that water's edge hunter-gatherer type diet into what basically is land-based agriculture, where we're eating a lot more meat and a lot more, you know, vegetables, but not the fish. So some of my researchers have shown that you can predict a country's suicide rate, depression rate from their seafood consumption. You know, just that.
Fascinating. You had mentioned very important nutrients that we want to include, the omega-3 fatty acids, DHA, the B vitamins, including B12, and the vitamin D. If someone's listening to this broadcast and wanting to know whether they're actually deficient in these key brain nutrients, where can they go to get tested?
Well, this test that I was telling you about, which we call the DRIFT test, which we're launching at the end of January, Dementia Risk Index Functional Test. Homocysteine is how you know if you're getting enough B vitamins. So that is the test. It's by far the best test. Omega-3 index will actually confirm whether you really are getting enough from the food you eat. So you know for sure, and you may well be, and that's great. We mentioned the HbA1c for your sugar balance. So you go, well, I think I'm okay. I don't eat too many carbs. Find out, because that will show you where you're at on that sort of scale of resilience. And then vitamin D as well. I mean, we all have to supplement vitamin D. Vitamin D, 3,000 IU, I would say, a day in the winter. One of the extraordinary things is people wonder, why does flu occur? You know, it kicks off in December. It's big in January, it peaks in February, and that's exactly the months where our vitamin D stores go down and down and down. So, you know, those are nutrients that you really have to take. What I do, I take a high-strength multivitamin and mineral. It gives me 10 micrograms of B12, which is not enough if your homocysteine is high. Mine is not. I've tested, so I don't need high dose. But if you do, you won't need 10 microgram. You need 500 microgram. I thought that my 3 servings of oily fish a week was enough. I tested my omega-3, and I supplement omega-3 as well, by the way. And I tested my omega-3, and you want to be above 8%, and I was 7.6%. So I actually slightly upped my omega-3 supplementation. My vitamin D is good, but I take 3,000 I use, and I take vitamin C. So those are my kind of absolute classic. So it's very good, I think. You know, we're born with this body. You know, we need to learn how it works. Testing it is like, you know, putting your car in for a service. You find out where you're at. And the wonderful thing is, if you do exactly what we'll tell you to do for free at foodforthebrain.org, all of those factors are what's driving everything else. So, you know, if you end up doing, if you like, our sort of anti-dementia type approach, it's anti-diabetes, it's anti-cancer, it's anti-heart disease, it's anti, you know, weight gain. It's, you're going to feel great. And in truth, when you get your nutrition right for your brain, you've got it right for your body. And the only major problem you have to deal with is, what do you do with all that extra energy?
That's right. Now, Chief Patrick Holford, Chief Executive Officer of foodforthebrain.org, you mentioned what you eat and the supplements that you take. What else do you do to prevent dementia yourself, being as knowledgeable as you are?
I didn't mention eggs, by the way. So I want to eat 6 eggs a week, free range. I'm actually living on a farm, and we just got alpacas, and they're very good at keeping foxes off chickens. So next we get chickens. We're growing our own food. So eggs and fish are very good for the brain. And what else do? I keep active. But I don't go to the gym, personally. Here I am on a farm. There's lots to fix. There's lots to do. And then I thought, you know, I'm turning 65. I need to engage my mind in something else. So I decided I'm going to learn how to paraglide. So I've just passed my paraglide exam, and I'm now a licensed paragliding pilot. And, you know, I've really got to use my brain and my body and coordination. I've been studying meteorology and air law. So keep your body active, keep your mind active, learn how to live in a way that you're not permanently in the state of stress and anxiety. That's really, really important. And I'm sure a lot of your books talk very much about that. In essence, it's about finding the essence of who you are and the magic and wonder that exists in the world and seeing your cup half, you know, not whatever it is, half full, not half empty. I mean, just being in a good state of mind. I'm particularly in favor of having a day a week where you have a complaining detox, right? You know, my general attitude in all my podcasts and blogs and things is don't get people upset about something that they can't do something about. As George Bernard Shaw said, everyone always complains about the weather, but no one ever does anything about it. So some great philosopher said, better to light a candle than rage against the darkness. So wake up in the morning, decide what it is you can positively do to make this world a better paradise. Get enough sleep. It's important. We need 7 to 8 hours is the optimal. And that might just be something as simple as going to bed a little bit earlier. Don't get into that habit of, I can't function without coffee. I can't relax without alcohol. I can't keep going without sugar. That combo of coffee, sugar, alcohol, you know, is not a good place to be. And yeah, those are really the, you know, the button points to work on. But all of that, by the way, if you do the test, it'll show you exactly and objectively. It's a little scary in some respects, but, you know, it's good to know.
So I would like to offer for our audience who may not want to do paraglider, I'm going to suggest something more accessible. I've taught yoga for 28 years. At age 64, I still teach yoga 9 times a week. Scientific research, older women, what is older women? Women over the age of 60 who've done yoga for 8 years or more have more gray matter in the brain. So if you want to prevent dementia, start practicing yoga and find, yeah.
No, I was going to say our sort of active mind-body expert, Professor Tommy Wood at University of Washington, he says it's really good to fail. In other words, do something you're bad at. Mm-hmm. You're never too old to learn a new musical instrument or learn a new language or just something. You don't have to be Mozart or, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are. Same with yoga, you know, start doing yoga. You may not end up being, you know, the yoga bunny that you would dream of, but it doesn't matter. You know, just do something out of the box. It keeps you physically active, a bit more flexibility, challenges your mind, opens up possibilities, challenges your body. You know, keep pushing forward.
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me and my work at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Our guest today has been Patrick Holford, Chief Executive Officer of foodforthebrain.org. And you can go to foodforthebrain.org and take a free cognitive function test, and they'll give you suggestions about what you can do to prevent dementia. And remember, when you eat right and take care of yourself naturally, you can avoid getting dementia. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.